Hate Speech and Platform Regulation, a workshop series by the ITM Münster. Today, Muravieva Mariana on digitalization and Russian law, including data protection and regulation of online platforms.
So I am a professor of Russian law at the University of Helsinki. My primary area of expertise is human rights, and particularly human rights of women and LGBTQI plus people. I've been doing a lot of digital studies, mostly in connection with access to justice and how access to justice works across class, gender, space, age, and other signifiers, and of course as a human rights issue. And so I've been particularly interested in how these policies, which we proceed to think are universal, are actually quite gendered in a way that how sort of they are applied to both cyberspace and the physical space. So we usually talk about taking physical space into cyberspace, and that very much involves the law, so it doesn't basically matter. But so we tend to think, and we in the 90s, we could used to think that it's a very a democratic space, right? Cyberspace, a very democratic space. Now, of course, we know it's not safe and it's not democratic, and it's definitely not uncontrollable, and you know, things like that. So just that's just what I do. And in a 10 minutes that I have left, I'll go in to give you the bigger sort of picture of what's happening in Russia. And then, as I said, Larissa will be giving you the more nuanced in very specific sort of analysis of how data is non-processed, right, in the platforms. So despite sort of, there's a lot of conceptualization of Russia's digitalization and digital projects, including law, and the majority of these concepts come from political science, and they are mostly based on classifying Russia's political regime as either hybrid, we could choose to do that, or authoritarian today. And the way this type of sort of governments or regimes use a digital law and the whole process of digitalization to mostly either show off to the West, quote unquote, or control the population, I actually don't see it like that. So in a sense, I sort of disagree with this political science literature, because in my opinion, the digitalization per se is a very much part of what you of the evolvement of any other country. So it doesn't matter whether you are authoritarian or not, you still use and digitalize and try to provide services for the population and introduce platforms, because we are in a global world. You cannot get away from that. But of course, the way you do that, that's where sort of all the problems arise, in a sense that what is the best way? And I'm aware that your group have been discussing this particular issue. So what would be the most efficient way of regulating or using or processing data using platforms? So in just to give you a little bit of a historical background, Russia actually started the project called Open Government, Открытое правительство, we call that in Russian, quite early on. And the Open Government project, in fact, involved the integral sort of, it was as early, so the idea came as early as 2002. And so that involves the integral sort of the integral platform of services that would both process the data, but at the same time would provide a number of services, both to the population, but also to the government. And so parts of this open government package included creating the omnipresent platform called Gosuslugi, so state services, we call them. And a state services is this platform where you can do pretty much anything, even get your COVID jab basically through that. Well, not you can't do the COVID jab through that, but you can, of course, register. And it's pretty efficient, actually. I've done that myself. I always try all the services just to see if it works or not. But also, at the same time, there's a number of other services as a part of the Open Government project. And if you think about law and access to law, there's a lot of actually legal types of services that you also can do. There's a the arbitration service came first, the arbitration law came first to be a part of this, and all the platforms for lawyers to process sort of court cases and arbitration cases through Moerbiter, my arbiter. So that's something like that. So that came to life in about 2008. And then from 2016-17, there's this other electronic sort of processing of applications and files in court cases. It doesn't look as rosy as that. There's a lot of paperwork which should be now transferred to electronic format, but at least you can do that. So in terms of access to justice, in a sense, the idea was that it would reduce quote-unquote corruption and efficiency and all that. But the studies that have been done since 2017 actually show that it could be both an obstacle, so create additional barriers to actually people who are not digitally literate, right, to use that. But at the same time, it involves a lot of lawyers who now should be digitally literate, because in a sense, they are the ones who do the whole uploading the applications through the platform. So in a sense, if you look at how this development is happening, and just forget a little bit about the control issues and the data protection issues, it's been quite a successful involvement of digitalization, and especially involving the legal services digitalization in Russia. But the problem is, of course, that in all of this, there's a lot of the processing of data. And data processing is what we call the regulation of RUNET, you know, the regulation of internet, is that the much more problematic issue than it has been. Now, I'm not saying it's more problematic in Russia than, say, in the United States. I think it's pretty much the same. But in a sense, the approach to how data is used, processed, and abused is crucial. And so we have a number of, agencies that are responsible for sort of regulating of internet and cyberspace and internet and digital platforms. And I'm pretty sure you've probably heard of Roskomnadzor as you know, as a word, and everybody thinks it's a new, I don't know, Gestapo or something, you know, for internet. Well, sometimes, but the Roskomnadzor, of course, is that it came to an existence as a pretty neutral watchdog over the communication services. So it's the title of this is a Federal Service for Supervision of Communications, Information Technology, and Mass Media. It has been there forever, so it has been there for a long time. And but the problem is that with the increasing usage of digital services, also we need to remember that cyberspace is not safe, and I've heard right now that you've done a lot of hate speech, online hate speech studies. This space is very problematic. On the one hand, you have a lot of good that comes with the digital platforms, but at the same time, you have a lot of crime actually going on those platforms. And we used to think about this crime as a mostly identity theft or a theft of data, but actually on the top of this, I mean, data protection is important, but on top of this, now we have new challenges that are increasing in a way that the more and more people become digital literate. So the more digital participation we have, and the more people participate in this, thinking about that as a concept of digital citizenship, as that's the other point, the more sort of crime you also have, in a sense that a lot of this crime is hate speech, but then you have bullying, stalking, you have a lot of things like that. So in a sense, you need a regulator. You cannot, I mean, you have two choices, right? You can leave it unregulated, and you need a regulator. But of course, once you actually have the regulator, then the discussion is, and that's the Russian ongoing discussion, in Russia and about Russia. So how do you, how to what degree you regulate? So how much of the intervention into privacy and data you need to have. So what happened is that starting 2016-17, we have more sort of closing down on regulation on that. So there's a administrative regulation. There are a couple of federal laws, of course, that regulate the data, but I'm not going to, I mean, again, you can look up the articles and have the list of federal laws. It's a federal law is the major law that regulates that. But also in Russia, what you have a federal law, but then you have what we call the subnormative acts. And the subnormative is a lot of ministries, instructions and ordinances and all that. So you have the important communication sort of administrative regulation that is called on introducing the register of operators processing personal data. So that's the special register that is actually including all the operators that have an ability to process that. You need to be registered there. And then there's the federal law that regulates the processing of personal information. So that's number 147, all information, information technologies and protection of information. That is the most problematic federal law because it was amended in 2016 and in between 2012 and 2016. And you probably again heard of a famous Yaravaya package, and that's the deputy of the State Duma who offered the changes into that law that mostly focused on prohibition. Sort of on the security legislation that would sort of that would include the localization clause, so everything should be in Russia or based in Russia. And you probably know that LinkedIn that refused to store the data in Russia was you can't access unless you use a VPN LinkedIn in Russia. So you know you have to store your data in Russia for the platform. I can theorize a lot in the connection with sovereignty here, but I'm not going to do that. So, and I have a couple of minutes left. That's one of the important. Very problematic issue, right? I mean, I do understand the logic behind that, but at the same time, being Russian, we do not trust the government. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be very conservative, pro-Putin, whatever, you still don't trust the government. And so we don't trust the government, which means that everybody sort of looked at this regulation as additional means of control. So we basically need to control the data, and that's the point of surveillance. And the other part of it gave way of introducing the further latest 2019 amendments that limited access to indecent or fake information against the government. That is what we call policing regulations, right? And so that's another part of platform regulation. So there's of course also tightening control on what you can repost. That's the other problem. So in a sense, and that's where we sort of theorize that you take your physicality into law. In a way, how that works in a physical world, so in a digital world, they try to do exactly the same thing. So if you repost, so you basically participate in a whatever illegal activity you repost about. The majority of those reposts are all about protests these days. So to conclude a little bit, I know that it's a very brief thing, but as we are expecting Larissa to be very specific about processing data, so I decided not to even go into that. So to conclude, theoretically speaking, and if you think conceptually about it, Russia is actually doing really well in terms of providing electronic services and providing a lot of digital platforms to be used by their citizens. At the same time, the level of digital literacy, as well as the level of what I call digital citizenship, so that people use digital platforms to exercise their rights and to hold the state accountable, is actually quite high. At the same time, in a situation of what they call the authoritarian regime right now, this is very risky in a sense that one hand is providing all the services, on the other hand, is creating the oppressive surveillance regime in which the whatever you do in the platform or in your sort of cyberspace is heavily policed. And we theorize that we actually predict that the practices of dissimulation will also be transferred in the cyberspace, in the sense that it will create a situation in which you want to sort of protect yourself and find pockets on the internet or in a cyberspace or in the digital platforms that are not regulated, that not surveilled. And the Russian channel Telegram, for example, or, you know, the refusal, that's one of the examples where you need to get away from that, and you basically protect yourself from the state or from the regulation of the state in terms of data processing, and you like promise that your data is not exposed to the government.
That was Muravieva Mariana on digitalization and Russian law, including data protection and regulation of online platforms. You've listened to Hate Speech and Platform Regulation, a workshop series by the ITM Münster.